loses power. Blood shall never lose that power. No, never. No, never. Jesus' blood avails for sin forever. We might not. The Holy Ghost might fall and move. But I'm not worried. I want the Lord to have his way. Let's sing this. Whatever I said, brother. No, that other one. Ah, precious blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Let's worship the Lord. If you want to proceed it, proceed it. If you want to stand, stand. But just be free. Praise God. Just let's worship the Lord. Blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. that's coming. That's just bow. And if anyone wants to give thanks to the blood, I want you to feel free to do it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you.
Yes.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you for the blood that was shed.
Yes,
the cross
Jesus.
Of Calvary.
Thank you, Jesus.
You said, if I see the blood, I will pass over.
Yes,
we
Jesus.
Thank you for that day when our Lord found that hill of Golgotha and gave himself as a lamb without a shepherd. Lord, you shed your blood that we might be redeemed.
Yes.
Redeemed from everything. You are here today to bless us because you so love us that you gave yourself as a lamb without a shepherd. You never opened your mouth. You didn't do nothing when they struck you with the rod.
Oh,
when they crowned you with the thorns of crown. When they nailed your hands to the tree.
Yes, Jesus. Jesus.
Lord, we thank you. What an amazing God.
Yes, amen.
What a powerful God you are.
Yes, dear.
Whom can we compare you with?
Oh,
nobody.
Jesus.
Nobody on this earth. You are the highest, supreme God. God who never fails.
Amen.
God who loves his people. That he gave his only begotten
yes,
Son.
The Lord.
In the
yes,
world
Jesus.
On him, you never perish, but have everlasting.
Amen.
We thank you that today we are here.
Yes,
to celebrate
Jesus.
Your love.
Amen.
Your mercy.
Yes,
your
grace,
yes Jesus.
Your power. Oh, hallelujah.
Yes,
accept
Jesus.
Thanksgiving. For you are so good. Every good thing always comes from you. Bless your people as we surround them at your table today. As we remember
yes, Jesus.
That you left for the church as a legacy.
Yes.
Continue. To remember your death, your burial, and your resurrection. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your amazing grace that brought us through. You stood with us, both thick and thin, and delivered us when we called that name, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we exalt you.
Yes.
You are so great and mighty. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read the communion verse and then we're going to give the communion. If someone still wants to pray while we're doing communion, give thanks. I want you to feel free to do it. Praise God. You may have seen it. I want to read. First Corinthians 11, verse 23. And the Lord bless each one this morning. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let him on examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, for ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Just going to pray, and we're going to do communion then. We'll get to the Word of God. But if you want to pray while we're doing communion, I want you to feel free, but pray in yourself as well. Thank the Lord. If you think anything's not right in your life, now's the time to put it right before God. And the Bible says, judge yourselves. So it's not for you to judge the man or woman beside you. It's judge your own self. And pray to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can come in such a manner as this around your table to remember you. Lord, as a man, I have no power or strength to do anything with this bread or wine. But Lord, we're doing it in remembrance of what you done on the cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, you told us as often as we do it, we're remembering you. Sanctify the bread, the wine. Father, we do thank you for your precious shed blood and for your body which was broken on the cross for each and every one of us. We pray for the Holy Spirit to move. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost right now. I'm asking you the Holy Spirit will move in this room, that he'll move in every person, that answer the prayers that's been prayed. In Jesus' precious name. Father, have your way amongst us. In the name of the Lord. Sanctify us now. Wash us now. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. And Lord, for neighbors down the street, Lord, that's sitting in darkness, we pray for their souls. That you'll save them. That you'll deliver them. That the glorious light of the gospel of Christ will break in on them. And the light and life of Christ will come upon them and they'll be saved. We thank you for that life, for that light. We bless you for it, praise you for it. Now sanctify us, Lord, as we come round your table and bless the emblems. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll ask that. Deacons, if they could come and just play over someone softly and sing. And thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to turn to the Word of God. And I won't hold you as long this morning. I'm going to get time again after I finish sharing a few thoughts. We're weaving and singing and praise again at the end. Brian again sends his thanks to everyone. He was telling me that it had been one day later when he went, things would have been really bad, that they just got him in time and the Lord's hand was in everything. And we thank the Lord for that. And then I was telling my brother Andrew, preach him, and he's had tremendous meetings in Switzerland. He was just telling me, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, maybe it was this morning, I'd sent him a wee message a couple of days ago, but he's had really good meetings in Switzerland, so we thank the Lord for that. Amen. It's not good. So keep Brother Andrew in prayers. He travels a lot, and that God will give him strength and everything. And Brother Brian as well, as he makes a recovery. And just pray for us as well. I'm wanting to preach in the mark of the beast, but not this morning or not tonight. I need time to get the thing ready because there's a lot of stuff in it. And I went into Revelations, and I've been honest with you, Daniel's, the book of Revelations, the book of Daniel's, and there's so much stuff to jump in and just preach one service on. It would take time, so I want to give it time to get ready. And I was going to preach on the blood this morning, preach tonight on the Bibles, the greatest of all Bible men. But then the problem is with the greatest of all Bible men, it's too big of a message. One meeting, so I'm going to preach it this morning on the night, and maybe another night and another night, and who knows when it would end. Where could you stop with the greatest of all Bible men? For Jesus is the man.
Amen.
That is the greatest of all Bible men. So I just want to share a few thoughts this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles to John 1 verse 4 to 9. And again, I've maybe too many scriptures, but maybe we shouldn't apologize for that, really. But those that take notes, you can write down, and I'll not go on too long this morning, maybe 25 minutes, and then we can have we've put a couple of songs again and worship. And if anyone wants to pray or anything, give a bit of time, praise God. We'll come back tonight, continue on tonight. The Lord willing, and He is willing. That's one thing about the Lord's always willing. Amen. Praise God. So the Lord bless you this morning. We know God will bless His own word. Amen. John 1 verse 4 to 9. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. And we know that God will bless the reading of His word. Praise God. The greatest of all Bible men. In the days of the flesh of Christ, Christ Jesus himself constantly asserted his own superiority and greatness among men. I know he humbled himself, we know all them things, but he was the greatest among men by the things he was able to do. No man dared make that claim what Christ made. And I want to say today that no man can still make the claims that Jesus Christ made. The claim that I and the Father are one, no other man can make that claim that Jesus Christ made. The claim that before Abraham was, I am, no other man could make that claim. The claim that all things are made by him and for him and without him was not anything made that's made. No other man can make that claim. The claim that you're looking at God before you, for I am God, manifested in flesh, for me and my Father are actually one. No other man could make that claim. Now that's just a wee nugget to start with this morning, because Jesus Christ is superior to all other Bible men, to every prophet, to every priest, to every king, the angels and everything. No one can compare to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says his name is far, not just above, but far above every other name. He's the true light. The true light. John 4, let's read John 4, and I want to read 8 verses, but they're important, and I want to read them. This story is a well-known story of the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, saying, hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The Lord Jesus Christ knew this woman's whole life, everything about her. He knew her standing at the well. Now, there's no scribes or no Pharisees or not even the disciples wanted to go this way. But the Bible says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had a desire and came to do something that no other came to do. That's to save sinners. Do you realize this morning there's no other Bible man that could or did come to save sinners? Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew all about her. And he knew all about her life. And he's the same this morning, Hebrews 13 and 8. He knows all about us. He knows all about our lives. He knows when we say things we shouldn't say, and when we hear things we shouldn't hear. The Lord knows every single thing about every one of us, because he is the greatest of all Bible men. In John 8, verse 53 to 58, art thou greater than our father Abraham? So she's mentioned Jacob's well. Now here's Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead. Who makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like unto you. So he's calling them a bunch of liars. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, if you don't believe in the pre-existence of Jesus, this proves it. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. I'll tell you what is not something. And he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Art thou yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. This is the same one that stood with Moses. And Moses said, the people's going to want a name. They know there's someone supernatural, but they have no name for him, the one they're worshiping. And he says, tell him, I am. I am. And you know, I am is unchanged. Not the I was, I am. I am the lily of the valley. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the first of 10,000. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. He's I am. Not I was, he's still I am. And here he's telling these religious leaders, and it's the same thing today. Many quote the prophet, but they didn't seem to really know about it, what the quote. And here they had Moses, and they quoted Moses, but yet they never recognized Jesus. If they really had believed Moses' message, they would have knew who Jesus was. That's a bit like William Branham saying, recognizing your day and its message. He was greater than Abraham, and he was before Abraham. The Jews boasted that Abraham was the head and the founder of the race. Christ is the head of the church. The Pope of Rome might claim he's the head of the true church, but I declare this morning he is the head of a false church. And I declare that Jesus Christ is the head of the one true mystical body, the true church, that you cannot join, but you're born into it by the Spirit of Almighty God. According to Corinthians, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Christ is the head of the church. He was greater in the temple and is of magnificent glory. The temple was a center and expression of worship. Now where two or three gather together in my name, he's in the midst of that to bless us. All the years that it took to make the temple, and Jesus says, tear it down, and in 3 days I'll build it. God said, I will build a temple. I will have a temple. And the Lord came to his temple, but they were looking at an earthly temple, mortar and stone and so forth, but he was talking about a greater temple. And here this morning we can worship him, for we are gathered in his name, and he's promised to be in our midst. Hallelujah. He was greater than Solomon in the excellence of his wisdom. Israel's illustrious king was the richest and wisest of all the kings. But both in his wealth and wisdom were derived from him who was made our wisdom, God himself. He was greater than Jonah in the beneficence of his mission. He was greater. The runaway prophet was against God's blessing the Gentiles and the Jews. Christ come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he can save the Jew or the Gentile. He can save either. He's greater than Jacob and his magnificent gift. Jacob gave the people the well, but Christ gave us the well of living water. There was a woman drawn from a well that Jacob had given. And the well saved and blessed many people, naturally speaking. But here came the true well of life. And he come to the woman that a priest or a Pharisee or a scribe wouldn't touch with a barge pole. But the Lord Jesus had compassion on her. And he took her as she was. And he saved her and delivered her. And she drank of the living water. And you know, she ran into the village. And she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the very Christ? Do you know what that means? The anointed Messiah. That's what you're saying. Here he is. John 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were came to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Many people came. John 7, 37 to 39. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believed on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I told you on Thursday night, we're candidates for the Holy Spirit. That it is the Lord's will for us to have the Holy Spirit. This verse proves it. Proves it. Christ Jesus came into the world as the holiest man ever born. I'm going to say it again. He came into the world as the holiest man ever born. And you remember you said about Adam and no sin. I'll agree with you. You're right. But he wasn't born. He was made. So you have to understand, Adam was never born. He was made. But after the birth of Adam, every single man's born in sin and shape and in iniquity. But Christ came, the holiest man ever born. In human form, he was the same as other Bible men, but unique in character. All other Bible men, with the sole exception of Adam, were born with inherited evil sin. Everyone. Psalms 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was shaped in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me. You see, people say it's not important that we know about the original sin, that doctrine. But it is, brothers and sisters. Because when you know the truth on the doctrine of original sin, that Eve never ate an apple, but there was an act took place and it did something in the bloodstream. When you know that truth, that highlights and really shows us why we need the pure blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The unadulterated blood of the Lamb of God. We need it, praise God. Now, I won't read all these scriptures. You can mark them. You that want to study a bit. Job 14:4. That's what's all about the inherited sin. Psalm 58:3. John 3, verse 6, and Romans 5, 12. But I won't go through them all this morning, but I want to keep with what I'm keeping with. Praise God. Jesus Christ was born without original sin. Now here's a real revelation, and God showed me this. You know it. I've preached it many times, but I'm going to tell you it again. The fact that Jesus had no original sin, what does that mean? Now hold for a moment. This is where the gospel and our Christian belief has more power than any other religion in the world. More than Buddha or Muhammad, here it is. Jesus Christ had no original sin. Therefore, death had no claim on him. Death had no claim on him. But every single man born of a woman, death had a claim on. Buddha and Muhammad, every one of them. Even the prophets. Death had a claim on them. But death had no claim upon the Lord Jesus because he had no original sin in him.
Amen.
But he willingly stepped into death. He challenged death. And death died the day he challenged it. He defeated death. He defeated hell. And he defeated the grave. And he rose triumphant over the foe. And I tell you, he wears the victor's crown this morning. The brow that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. And I tell you, he wears the royal diadem this morning. Amen. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the greatest of all Bible men. Jesus Christ, born without original sin. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I tell you, there's not another man. I will argue the point. I will not change it. There's no other man that could stand it. Only the Lord. Every other man would fail. The Bible's clear. It says no one could keep the law. Every one of them would fail. Every one of us failed. Every one of us would have failed. But here's a man that never failed. Here's a man without sin. Here's a priest that when he offers, he never once offered for himself, then the people. He never had to offer for himself, for he knew no sin. He offered it all for me and you this morning. Offered it all for me and you. Praise God, isn't he wonderful? He was separate from sinners in that he was without and heard at sin. Original sin had no claim in him. Therefore, death had no claim in him. No other man could say that. No man could convict or convince him of sin. He was indeed sinless. Just think of that this morning. The preacher preaches to convict people of sin. That's his job. He preaches the word of God. The Holy Spirit convicts people through that word. But Jesus never could be convicted of sin, for he had no sin. Many of us sin even when we're saved. We look at things we shouldn't look at. We say things we shouldn't say. I'm as guilty as you, and you're as guilty as me. Don't think there's no healer. The only healer we have is the Lord's. Amen. The only righteousness we have is the Lord's. We have none of our own, but thank God his is more than enough. We're perfected through him because of the blood. Let me read you this. What was the Holy Ghost given for? Therefore, no other blood would sanctify people. It couldn't sanctify you. And it couldn't sanctify me. Because we're both born after sex. But Jesus was born without sex. That's right. So his blood was a sanctifier. And God came down, made a body and lived in it. Shed his blood for the sanctifying of this. Which absolutely expelled the guilt, the sin and the shame. Then through faith, believing in that, God comes right down into the human body by the sanctifying blood. Puts him, Abraham's seed, faith, that we believe the word of God with the royal seed of Abraham. The pure blood, the miracle blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about his genealogies? What about his genealogies? Both Matthew and Luke set forth the genealogy of Christ. The Old Testament opens with the thought, behold, I make all things. The New Testament begins with a promise, behold, I make all things new. This is why it introduces us right away to the second man. Not the first man, the second man, which is the Lord from heaven. And as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And as we're of the earth, earthly, so shall we be heavenly, because he's heavenly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. That's what I've quoted you. I'm going to have to close in a moment, just a few more moments. I knew I wouldn't have nowhere near the time, because I have a lot of hay in the fork, an awful lot. But I trust it's good. The inspired historian begins with Christ's historic genealogy. For it must be clear that his bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, Matthew especially, and heard it in the Jews, sets forth Christ as a son of David and traces his lineage back 2,000 years to Abraham. As the rightful heir to the kingdom, Matthew proclaims Christ as the King of Israel. Luke, writing for the Gentiles, gives a careful outline of the natural descendants and proves that Christ sprang from the first Adam. Proves it. Step by step, he carries us back to the father of the human race. Prominence is given to Christ in Luke's gospel as a son of man. As a son of God, he became son of man, that he might make the sons of man the sons of God. Did you hear that? He became, hallelujah, the son of man, that he might make us sons of God. We're sons of God this morning. Daughters of God. Because of him. It was common for the Jews to distribute genealogies into divisions containing some mystical number. Some genealogies were repeated or omitted. Three great ekpods are covered by these genealogy trees, representing three great stages in the development of the Old Testament. Promises in relation to men. That's what they're all about. Abraham to David. Now I'm only hitting the highlights. You could take a whole study on these points. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one. To thy seed, which is Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You see how the Bible places the Lord? David to the captivity in Babylon. We're told blessings should come through the Davidical lines, the David lines. And we know when you study the Bible that the blessing comes on the children of Israel. God has promised a blessing on the children of Israel. And God is saying, if you bless them, I will bless you. If you curse them, I will curse you. This is still real today. Amen. That's why we are encouraged. And I encourage you as a pastor of this assembly to pray for Israel. Amen. And to bless them. I encourage you to do it. The captivity to Christ. As a result of their bondage, the people were cured of their idolatry. Israel was more spiritual after their dispersion, weren't they? Only one small remnant returned to Palestine. The rest remained in Babylon or were scattered abroad. James 1 verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. They're everywhere in the world, weren't they? Now, you could go in more. Somebody could come in here, but I have to keep on my line. But you could take this up, this thought. And you could show with an old arm when the people wanted to go back to Israel and they were afraid to go. And he ran them where they perceived on the wings of a great bird. They climbed onto the plane. They weren't going to get onto her. And they were flown out. How many knows that's true? Isn't that wonderful? And you could go into all about Israel this morning. It's wonderful how God's preserved and protected them. And this outfit that's about now is wasting their time. In the fullness of time, Christ came to fulfill all the promises made to Abraham and to David and to make the people scattered abroad through the prophet. Christ coming as Messiah, the seed of the woman. Genesis 3 verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus Christ bruised the devil at the cross. And it's prophesied all the way back in Genesis 3 verse 15. The whole way to Revelation runs a red scarlet line through your Bible. Let me just mention these few thoughts and then I'm going to close and we'll come back tonight. Generation after generation look forward to the coming of the great deliverer. Such a monarch was to come in the direct line of the descendant from certain ancient sovereigns and saints, and every Jewish mother had hopes of bearing such a savior. This was why barrenness produced real sorrow in the women of Israel. That's what produced sorrow in the women of Israel. As we see the distress of Hannah. But Hannah cried to the Lord. And Eli thought she was drunk, didn't he? Her lips were moving, but he couldn't hear nothing. And he thought she was drunk, and she said, no, I'm not drunk. And then it was revealed that she was praying for her son. And Eli said, may God grant it. And God gave, Hannah was born, but God gave born Hannah a son, and she called his name Samuel. For the Bible says not one word of Samuel fell to the ground. And the light in Israel was almost gone out. But God sent Samuel. And there's a verse I love. For Hannah loaned him to the Lord. Now, you mightn't get it the way I'm getting it that bit. But it does something in me. She loaned him to the Lord. And I tell you, he was a prophet of God. Wasn't he? A mighty prophet of God. That's just why barrenness produced unthinkable sorrow. Hannah's case. Jewish mothers hoped that out of the number of their children, God might raise up one to sit in David's throne at last. Mary was the one to be favored above all women. And it's not wrong to thank God for Mary. We thank the Lord for Mary. And the Bible says we're to talk about it in every generation. Virgin birth. the Lord Jesus Christ. The genealogies of the Old and New Testaments alike then are signposts pointing to Christ as the end of the old dispensation and the beginning of the new signposts. Now I want to tell you tonight, this morning, sorry, it's the Lord we need an uplift. And you remember I have to continue what he told me. Preach more about Jesus. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And I hope the Lord blesses you. Let's stand our feet. I'm going to pray, and then a brother guy's going to come. Am I going to? It's only gone, just coming up for 20 past. A few minutes to worship. Somebody wants to pray and thank the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? Brother, sister, no matter what you're going through this morning, the Lord sees it. The Lord sees it. And he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the word of God. The bread for the wine. Pray that the Holy Spirit will move on. And ask you, Lord, for tonight, if thou wouldst tarry, you'll help us. Help and bless the people. Father, bless us now as we worship before we go. Just bless everyone. Take them to homes in safety. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to ask the brother Gary to come. And the Lord bless you.
Can we sing the hymn, No Other Hope? No other plea, he took my place and died for me.
No other hope, no other way. He took my
without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Thank you.